seated. Or maybe I should have worn a Hawaiian shirt this morning. I could always count on you for a little riff there. I came in this morning thinking, you know, nobody knows. This would be great. We could just get through it normal. And then everybody say, happy birthday. And I'm like, uh-oh, word's out. Who leaked? And then I find out it's in the directory. So, okay, I guess I can go with it. Thank you, friends. It has been a blessing being here, and it's been a blessing being a part of this church family with you all. I'm having a lot of fun being your interim pastor, and this has just been a blessed time. So thank you very much. I still think I should have worn a Hawaiian shirt this morning, but hey, at least I remembered to dress down. Last time I was in a monkey suit, and I'm in there trying to do lunches, and I'm just sweating, and I'm going, yeah, I'm dressing down next time we have a service Sunday. So, well, friends, I promised a short meditation. I was told I had to promise it was going to be under 20 minutes. It's going to be under 20 minutes. I promise. But this morning, as I mentioned before, we're going away from our series on early church foundations. We're actually going to go back and just visit a few verses that we saw in the I Am series. Remember, we were doing that just before, leading up to Easter during Lent? So we're going to look again at one of the passages from John chapter 15, and then I have a fun story to tell. We're going to get away from a sermon. There's no points. There's no anything to remember. It's just a story, because sometimes we just need stories on dates like this. So, friends, our passage this morning is from John chapter 15, beginning with verse 12. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, when not preaching, you know I love to tell stories, whether they're biblical stories, stories about others' experiences of God, or stories that God's given me to write. This morning I wanted to share a story behind the author who wrote the hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And that's the hymn we're going to close with our service with. But this is a story that I believe ties to our service project today. So the story is about Joseph Scriven. Now, Joseph was born in Bainbridge, Ireland, not far from Dublin, in 1819. And he was born into a more well-to-do family. So he had access to education. He grew up. He was a very, very smart young man. And in fact, he was so smart that he got into Trinity College at the age of 16. So he goes to Trinity College in Dublin at age 16, but that's when he started to have some health problems. But he had this aspiration. This aspiration was that he wanted to continue the family tradition of his father, his grandfather, his great-grandfather, of serving in the British Royal Army. But he was told, after he'd been going through college for a while, that he was physically unfit. And so he got sent back, and he returned to Trinity, where he graduated with his bachelor's in 1842. From there, because he couldn't become a soldier, he had to figure out, well, what am I going to do? And he knew that he loved working with kids. So he became a tutor. And he also, because he returned home, became engaged with a gal that he had known through the years. And they were to be married. Well, on the day before his wedding, he was traveling back up from Dublin to his home to come for the wedding. And as he was walking back home, he noticed his fiancée's horse there along the road, but no, his fiancée was nowhere to be seen. Unfortunately, she'd fallen off the horse and drowned in a nearby creek. It was absolutely heartbreaking for him, and he felt completely empty. But in the midst of that emptiness, in that tragedy, he turned back to the Lord in prayer and asked the Lord, "Now what do I do with my life?" He had grown up thinking he was going to be a soldier for his life. That didn't work out. He then was going down the tutoring road and then was going to get married and have that life. And now he felt like, "God, I need some direction here. I don't know what I'm supposed to do." And so he reconnected with the Lord, and he connected with the Plymouth Brethren and felt a call to the ministry, but he wasn't sure exactly what that was supposed to look like. Well, he ended up traveling to the Middle East, where he became an English tutor for the Bartley family. And while he was in the region, he took a trip to Damascus in Syria. Now, if you remember in Acts chapter 9, Damascus is where where Saul, who was somebody who was wanted to take out Christians early in the life of the church, right? And he is going to Damascus because there's a conclave of believers there in Damascus. And while he's on the road to Damascus is when Jesus comes to him in a vision and speaks to him and then also blinds his eyes at the same time. And it says that he was taken into the city where he found himself praying to the Lord. And then the Lord sent a fellow believer to come and heal him. Well, it says that the instructions to Ananias were that he was supposed to go to the house on Straight Street to go and find Saul and heal him. Joseph found that house on Straight Street. And as he stood in front of that house that had been there for over 2,000 years, symbolizing that God, no matter how crazy life is, and no matter how much you may even go up against God, that God will still come with mercy. And it was there on Straight Street in Damascus that he wrote the words for the first time, "What a friend we have in Jesus." And he began to work on the words for a poem. Well, shortly after, he decided he needed to become a missionary, and so he went to Canada, in Ontario, Canada, in 1847, where he began working as a lay preacher and a tutor to help make ends meet. So he truly was a tent maker, just like Paul. And it was during that time as a lay preacher that he was traveling between towns that his heart began to open up for the poor, especially the widowed and the physically handicapped. See, his desire had become that he wanted to live out Jesus' Sermon on the Mount as best he could. So sometimes these brutal winters would come and there were people that needed wood to be able to heat their homes. So he would chop down trees and cut firewood for free for widows and their families. If he was paid for preaching, he would then go into town and buy food in town for those that were hungry. There's even a story of him finding a homeless man who was naked in the cold, and he literally dressed down to his underwear and gave all of his clothes and his coat right there to the homeless gentleman on the spot. Then in 1955, word reached him that his mother, who was still in Ireland, was beginning to decline in health. So he sent her a letter that included this 6-stanza poem. "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful? Who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do your friends despise, forsake you? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In His arms He'll take and shield you. You will find a solace there." Well, his mother received that poem and not only treasured it, but shared it with as many others as she could. In 1859, Joseph, still in Ontario, Canada, became engaged to a family member of one of his tutoring clients. Her name was Eliza. Joseph had finally found love again. And Eliza decided that she wanted to be baptized before they got married. Unfortunately, the spring before they were married, Eliza developed pneumonia. And back then, pneumonia many times turned deadly. Even after having his heart broken yet again by another tragedy, he continued to trust the Lord. Now, we don't know much about his final years before he passed in 1886. Other than at one point, he sold everything that he had to help the poor. He would still go and cut wood. If anybody offered to pay him to cut wood, then he knew that they had means, so he wouldn't do it. He'd only do it for those who couldn't afford it. And he would continue to find food for the poor. And it was those friends that he had touched over the years that came and gathered and cared for him late in life before he went back, or before he went to be with the Lord. What is interesting is the fact that Joseph likely never knew the effect his poem that he sent his mother would have. For you see, what happened was his mom had shared his poem freely, and she tried to make sure that Joseph got full credit for it. But eventually it got off of the island of Ireland and got over to the UK. His name got detached for it for a while. And they realized that this would be a perfect hymn. And they put a couple of different melodies to it. But it was Ira Sankey who was the one who gave us the melody that we now, that is most common both in the UK and here in North America. And it wasn't until a year before his passing that they got his name correctly ascribed as the author of what became one of the more well-known hymns. Today, What a Friend We Have in Jesus is one of the most translated Christian hymns around the world. It's already been translated into over 100 different languages. So next time we sing Joseph's hymn, which we will do here at the end of our little short service this morning, I want you to remember a man who knew that friendship with Jesus was always greater than any hardship or tragedy that life could bring. That Jesus' Sermon on the Mount was worth living out, and he dedicated his life because he knew what a friend Jesus was, even to those who may not know him. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Friends, let us pray. Gracious Lord, we come on this Lord's Day. We come ready to roll up our sleeves and to get our hands dirty in a way, although we're working with food this morning, so we'll keep them clean. But we're coming, Lord, because you've given us a calling. As this calling is being your people, it's not just that we're supposed to come and worship you one time once a week and then go off in our merry way, but you called us to a way of life. Your grace has changed us from the inside out. And you've called us to reach out and to serve the least of these, those that are lost, those who have no shelter, those whose stomachs are beyond the point of growling because they don't have the sustenance they need or clothing that they need. And Lord, you've called us to be your hands and feet as a part of serving those in need. And so, Lord, that's what we're doing. And you know this is part of our heart. This is our heartbeat. This is what we love to do. So, Lord, this morning we are praying that for every sandwich that we put together, every lunch bag that we put together, every note of encouragement that gets written and placed, and for all the hands that will be a part of not only making those, but also delivering those today to those in need. Lord, we pray that your Spirit will pour out an extra measure of love, of peace, and of grace upon each and every one of those sack lunches, so that those who need it most can be touched. And Lord, we thank you for the honor and the privilege of being called by your name to go and do this, because we wouldn't have any purpose outside of you. And for that, we are truly thankful. Lord, we pray this morning for those in our community who have been forgotten. We pray for those who are hiding just out of our view, finding those places where they want to be left alone because of the embarrassment of not having shelter.
Lord, we pray for those who struggle with mental illness that may be what keeps them on the streets. Lord, we pray for your touch, your continued protection upon them. And Lord, most of all, we pray for our veterans, those that have been through so much and yet have so little. And Lord, we pray for your hand to continue to touch and bless them and bring them the resources that they need. If that's through us and through other services, thank you, Lord. Lord, we also want to lift up this morning those in our church family who are traveling. We pray for those who are experiencing illness and not able to be with us. We pray especially for Elroy as he is nearing the end of his journey in life, and we pray for your peace with him. Lord, we lift up all these prayers and our hearts with them, and we do so together, united in faith, remembering the prayer your Son taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.